Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. All right, here's a question. I want you to step back and think about this. What are you doing that's positive in 2017? How are you making a difference in your community or even go big? How about around the world? Well, my guest today, he's really special. His name is Cornell Thomas, and he is a master motivator and a professional who's not only making a difference in this world, but he's also helping others to make a difference. Cornell is a father, husband, son, speaker, coach, motivator. I call him a world changer. He's a free thinker, a doer, a giver, an active dreamer. I mean, everything that we all aspire to be. His mission in life, and this is really important, is to serve others and to make this world a better place. And believe me, we need that now. He does this through every speech he gives, his books, his interactions with people, the quotes that I see from him, and the consultation that he gives. Cornell, it's so great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Deirdre, thank you so much for that amazing intro, and thank you for having me on your show.
Well, you are amazing, and you have a lot of things going on. You are a super interesting personality. You were an athlete, right? Professional athlete. You transitioned from that role in life into being this master motivator, speaker, and author. Tell us how you got here. You know, give us a little bit of the background story.
All right. Well, life kind of got me to where I am right now. I started playing the game of basketball at a really late age. I was 16 and a half years old when I first picked up a basketball, and I was inspired by my cousin, Carlos. And to be completely honest with you, I was absolutely horrible. Like, I can't explain to you in words how bad I was.
I'm glad there's no video footage. Like, me horrible with the basketball? That bad?
No, Deirdre, we would be probably the same level with the basketball. So I was really bad. But the one thing that I got from my mom, the great Tina Thomas, is I never let doubt stop my do. So my father passed when I was about 4 years old. He's a police officer in the city of Passaic, New Jersey. Did some amazing things. They dedicated a street after him and his honor. He was just a rock star. But I didn't really know my father. So when he passed away, he left my mom, Tina, to raise five kids on her own with no money. So every day I got an opportunity to see what a lioness looks like and see her just go through life and not make any excuses. So when I decided to start playing basketball, I was like, yeah, I'm bad right now, but I'm just going to keep working and hopefully, you know, something clicks. And my junior and senior year, I was god awful. I looked like a baby deer.
Oh,
it's bad. So get that visual, Deirdre, but also add in like the high top 1990s, kind of like kid and play haircut that they're trying to bring back today. Yeah, it was bad. And I didn't have a mustache, so I looked kind of crazy. And so that was me. And I got cut from varsity when I was a junior. My senior year, I barely played. I'll never forget, at the end of our last game, our coach put us all together, and he was trying to, you know, he's going down the line saying all the good things that people did during the season. And he got to me and he goes, "Cornell, you know what? You're going to be a great businessman." And I was like, what in the heck is this dude talking about? Like, I don't even like business. What? So I had this huge chip on my shoulder. And when I got out of high school, obviously there's no schools that were recruiting me because I was terrible. But I went to a junior college, a 2-year school in Newton, New Jersey, called Sussex County College. And by the time I got to my sophomore year, so this was year 5 of me playing basketball, something clicked, and the work ethic paid off, and I was able to get the full scholarship to play in North Dakota. And I got back from North Dakota, and I was playing with NBA guys and, you know, guys that are in Europe. And I got a contract to play professionally in Portugal, in Lisbon, Portugal. And I was about a week away from playing, and I was out with a couple of friends just kind of messing around on the court. and I blew my Achilles tendon. I ruptured it. And so when that happened, for me, my whole entire why after, I kind of stopped wanting to play basketball just to get girls and be famous. my whole entire why was to make sure that my mom never had to work another job again. So when I got injured, it just hit me so much harder, even though I knew I'd get better. So I was just kind of sitting in my bed, and one of my hardest days of my life, Deirdre, was after I got hurt, I had surgery. The next day, my mom came in my room and she gave me a kiss on the forehead, and just watching her walk up my room and get into her car and go to one of the jobs that I said she'd never have to work again, that was probably one of the hardest days for me. And I just was in complete, like, why me mode. Like, why this happened to me? I don't drink, I don't smoke, I work hard, I'm good to people. And I started thinking about my mom, and I started thinking that when I was growing up and we had all this adversity in life, my mom was always about the solution. She wasn't about the problem. So what am I going to do right now? So I got out of why me mode and kind of got into what now mode, and that helped me get through it. And eventually, when I got better, I got an opportunity to coach basketball, and I, tried my best to not do it. And I ended up coaching and opening a business, helping kids with basketball and training kids. And then I started my route towards helping and serving others. And about 4 or 5 years ago, for whatever reason, I was on Facebook. I guess I wanted to be depressed. I started reading my timeline. And I'm just reading my timeline, and I'm like, this is the most miserable stuff that I've ever saw in my life. Like, why am I reading this? And I decided that day, I said, okay, well, I'm going to start a new movement. I'm going to have a book called Book of Positive Quotations. Mm-hmm. And I had a book, and I would just take a positive quote and put it there every day. And one day I lost the book. And I said, okay, well, I'll do my own quote. And people still liked it. So I was like, forget the book. I'll just write my own quotes. So I started writing my own quotes, and a good friend of mine came up to me and said, Cornell, dude, you should write a blog. And I said, that's a great idea. What's a blog? Like, what are you talking about?
What is it?
Yeah. I'm like, a blog? Okay, cool. And so we were sitting in Panera Bread, and he set one up for me, and I wrote my first blog. It was called Risk. And I saw my words, how they move people. And the blogs became books. And after I wrote my first book, The Power of Positivity, I decided to go out and start speaking on the subject. And I just went from there. And I didn't have a PR person. I didn't have, someone to help promote me. I just had the work ethic and drive that I've had since I was little to go out and help change the world and make something happen.
That is awesome. So
thank you.
You are a mover and a shaker, no doubt. And I love that you kind of turned the why me into the what now. Like, a lot of guests on the show, we talk about this. I'm all for the pity party for a certain amount of time. But then it really is, okay, what am I going to do about it? And like you said, your mom is very solutions oriented.
Yeah.
That is so important to have that. Sure. That mindset. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're just stuck in your own pity party. So it's a new you, right? And I'm seeing, and I don't know about you, but there's a lot of the whole New Year's resolutions, talking about the resolutions, writing down the resolutions. But, I'm all for action. So, and I can tell that you are too. So what is your action? What are you looking at in 2017? What's your purpose for this year?
Well, one thing I love about you, Deirdre, and the reason, like, after our first phone call, I was like, you're my sister, is because you are so action-oriented. And I'm the same way. So I don't say the word resolution. I tell people it's a revolution. A resolution is just a word. Revolution is, that means change. When you revolt against something, it means change. And for you to change anything in your life that you've been doing for a long time that's now habit, you have to revolt against your mindset that you used to have, your former mindset. So I don't make resolutions. I think resolutions are kind of silly, because the same resolution you're writing down that you don't believe in, you're not changing anything mentally to make sure that happens and sticks. So for me, my 2017 is scary. There's some big things that are going to happen. Like, I'm going to work on changing the planet. And it doesn't matter who's in the freaking White House. It doesn't matter because it's not about them. It's about us. And because I'm meeting a bunch of Deirdres and people that are just amazing,
thank you.
Know, I'm meeting you guys every day. Like, we met out of the blue, out of nowhere. And, you know, now I have a friend for life. So it's like, we're finding each other. So my whole goal is to, you know, get these, you know, positivity summits, get my speeches, every interaction I have with people to inspire them, to lift them, to take action and do more and believe in themselves. I tell people all the time, my purpose is helping people realize they have one. That is my biggest purpose in life. And I didn't know why I existed until, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And now I know why I'm here. So I'm on a mission. I'm on a revolution. I'm not on some resolution. I'm going to hit the gym and then, you know, eat ho-hos, you know, as soon as I leave in the parking lot. You know, I'm going to revolt against my old mindset, and I'm going to change the planet with my help, with help from you and everybody else.
Yeah, you're not the ho-ho kind of guy sitting in the parking lot. Okay, so you mentioned the Positivity Summit, and we're going to get there because I think that's really important. And I'm involved in it too, so I definitely
talk
about it. But inspiring others to make a difference.
Yeah,
that's not, sometimes that can be a challenge. Sometimes there's folks who get it and get on board and get excited and they want to go with you and drive change and, you know, really get somewhere. But that's not, I don't even know if that's 50% of the population.
No.
So how do you take that other side of it? The folks who are having trouble, you know, how are we going to inspire others to make a difference? What can we do?
Well, I'd say this, and this is probably one of the biggest things that I learned about positivity in general. I think people have the definition of positivity misconstrued. I feel that people think positivity is like your dog just dies and you run around the house like Richard Simmons all happy. Like, that's not positivity. Yeah. Like, positivity is in the absence of human emotion. It's just not living in negative emotion. And so a lot of people that it's hard, they're hard to inspire is because, you know, emotionally, they're just like, you know, it's about their past or it's about this incident that just happened or they lost their job. And dude, it's okay to have a little pit stop and to mourn town, you know, or to be upset. But I inspire people by saying, think about the time that you're wasting right now, mourning or being upset about the past. Like, we're only given 168 hours each week. Are you really going to spend 10 of those hours upset and mad that your situation is terrible? Like, you're wasting time, bro. Like, you have no idea when you're not going to be here anymore. Don't waste time. So I always tell people, you know, don't waste time. Make the most of your days. When they see my quotes, they're like, oh, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. That's because I love waking up, because about 100,000 other people didn't today. So why am I going to waste any time? So that's how I inspire people. I'm just like, man, you were meant for greatness. All of us were. You know, I use an analogy all the time that sometimes gets me in trouble, but I say, just to be born, you're one out of, you know, 450, 500, you know, whatever, however many swimmers your dad has, you know, 500 million, right?
Right.
So just to be born, doesn't that tell you that you're meant to be here? Doesn't that wake you up? And, you know, if it doesn't, then maybe my message isn't right. Maybe you're not ready for it right now. Maybe later on, you know, but I know there's somebody that is. I'm going to move on to that person and try to uplift that person. Maybe come back to you later.
Yeah, you have to be ready for it. And you can't be stuck in the past and all of the emotions that weigh you down. I mean, they say this is more around like mindset and, you know, kind of being present, but 80% of your thoughts literally should be right where you are and what you're doing, 10% past, 10% future. And I know for me personally, when, you know, I get really busy and I'm doing things and I'm in the moment, and then every so often when you stop, something comes up. And if I feel like it's going down that negative, I go delete, 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 gone.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's just gone. So,
but you know what, Deirdre, you know what you do, and you know, it's because you're, you know, such a rock star and you do so many different things.
Well, thank you.
You've trained your mind to handle adversity a lot different than other people. And I've done the same thing. So we've used our past actually as something that makes our mind stronger. You know, your mind is your most powerful muscle. The more you train it to get through it, these little battles, the stronger it's going to get. So when things do happen, you don't break. You know, you keep moving forward. You know, and that's the problem. People want to train their, you know, their pecs or their biceps, but they don't train their mind. You got to build your mind up. You know, you build your mind up and you get through these battles, then you'll be ready for any adversity that comes your way.
I'm so glad you said that about training. It does. It definitely takes training. All right. I want to jump into your positivity summit.
Yes.
Why should people care? And what makes this event that's happening when? March 10th and 11th, 2017.
March 10th and 11th.
What makes it different?
Okay, well, first they have to care because Deirdre Breckenridge is going to be there. So, if anything, if you don't care about me at all, that alone is the mic drop that you've been waiting for. Deirdre's going to be there presenting. So, that's the first thing. But besides that, I was sitting at a Tony Robbins event 2 years ago, about a year and a half ago, Date with Destiny. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at 3,000 people, and, you know, I went there to study Tony as a speaker. And I'm like, oh, he's a phenomenal speaker, such presence. And I'm looking around, and I got this, you know, ticket gifted to me. And I'm looking around, I'm like, wow, you know, the average ticket price is like $3,000, you know, $3,500, whatever it is, dollars. And I said, there's only a certain demographic you're going to be able to reach here.
Right.
And for me, if you want to change the planet, you can't exclude 90% of the population.
Exactly.
You just can't do it. So as I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, how can I do an event that not only makes sense cost-wise for people, but it's going to just blow them out the water. So I started kind of throwing this positivity summit stuff around my mind. I knew it was going to be called Positivity Summit. And I'm like, okay, why don't I do this? Why don't I have amazing speakers in? But instead of having, like, you know, people drone on for an hour and a half, we'll have everything 20 minutes, 25 minutes for the speakers. We'll have a big party at the end of the first day, that evening. I'll bring a DJ in. I'll play old school music. I'll do the Running Man. It'll be great. You know, people can let their hair down and just kind of hang out. But then that Saturday, what we'll do is we'll do an actual give back day. So instead of just talking about changing the planet, we'll go and change the planet. I'll get a couple buses. I'll get everybody that's in attendance, all 145 people. We'll go down to my hometown of Passaic, New Jersey, and we will make change happen. We'll help the homeless. We'll help. There's a children's hospital that's a mile away from there. There's a single mother's homeless shelter that's right there. Let's just walk our talk. And I'm a, like you said, I'm a man. I'm a person of action. My mom is a person of action. So I want to take action, and that's what makes it different. And I want to do 3 positivity summits all over the world and make the give back different every single time. So eventually, what I want to do is have a national give back day, you know, for people where it's recognized worldwide. And for the first 145 people that are coming, this first group, every positivity summit after this one is $100 off until they're free. And then they come for free for the rest of their life. No matter what the price is, no matter who I have coming and speaking, doesn't matter if Tony Robbins comes himself and speaks, doesn't matter. It's free. So I want this first group is so special to me. I want to build this community of people that are going to be like, Cornell, I just want to help you work it. Like, I know I can come free for the rest of my life. I just want to help you. And I want to make this thing just global, Deirdre. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, I am honored to be a part of it. I think it's going to be amazing. Amazing people,
so
an amazing day.
Yeah. Well, trust me, when we talked and you said you were in, I might have done a cartwheel after I hung up the phone. I was pretty happy. Might have done a cartwheel.
Wait, was it a one-handed or two?
Well, see, now you're getting fancy. I'll just give you the two. One means I'll be back in the hospital at some point.
Yeah.
But two, I'll give you two.
Well, I'd be the same way. So I don't even think I could do a two-handed cartwheel.
Well, you know what? When I see you in March, we'll practice. I'll show you mine. You can show me your cartwheel. I'll show you my cartwheel.
Right, I'm bringing my sneakers.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're definitely using social media to get out there and spread the word and share your message. What are some of the different ways that you're doing this? What's working and what isn't?
Yeah. I think for me, being that my budget is kind of being taken care of as people register, because it's my first event. Not having the capital to kind of go out and just do crazy, put a bunch of money into marketing. I think the social media and the word of mouth is so powerful, you know, doing Facebook lives, posting on Instagram, doing little Facebook ads, shooting videos and posting them to my wall. and asking people to share it, you know, not being shy to say, hey, you know, share this with your friends if you liked it. And, you know, so those are the main things. I'm just really hitting it social media wise, even with sponsors, you know, just reaching out to people and contacting people. And there's so many people, like I had 3 meetings today, all with connectors. You know, all the connectors that are like, hey, Cornell, meet this person, or meet this person, or you got to meet this person. So I'm my own army right now, you know, so I'm doing everything. So social media is great for me because it's quick and easy, and it's not something that I spend 4 hours on. People, and you know this being an expert, but you don't need 4 hours in social media to be effective at it.
Oh, no.
You just need to do it the right way.
You have to be real and human. And that's why you're so good at it. I love when I see you with your kids. They're so
cute.
Oh my gosh. Like how human, and just, you're just such a cute family. I'm thinking your wife is filming it. Is she, or are you doing just
no, I mean, my wife is She's like the working. Loch Ness monster. She is not going on camera. Like I'll say, hey, let's take a picture. And she'll be like, okay, when's the next Olympics? Like she will not ever. Like, I'm like, I got on 1 60 seconds of sanity in 3 years, Deirdre. Like
oh, my goodness.
And it was like it was a drive-by. It was like a quick, oh, there she is, and she's gone. She is not a camera. She is, I'm telling you, it is so hard to get this woman on camera. So I just set up my MacBook, and I squished the kids together, Naya and Bryce, and yes. We just go for it.
I love Naya's hair. Right when she sits in her little high chair.
Yeah, her hair is it has a life of its own.
I love it.
And,
it's beautiful.
And Naya has given me by herself personally about 30 gray hairs on my goatee. 30 by herself. She's 18 months.
How old is she?
She's 18 months and Bryce is 3.
Well, you're going to have a lot of gray hairs by the time she's 18.
Yeah.
Just want you to know.
Thank you for that intention. Thank you for putting that out there. I really appreciate it.
All right. Listen, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts. We're going to take a super quick break, give some love to our sponsor. And when we get back, Cornell's going to talk more about what inspires him, how he's a master motivator, all passionate and energy and his drive. So we'll be back in a flash.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to Women Worldwide. I was just chatting with Cornell Thomas, and oh my goodness, we were talking about his positivity summit, inspiring people, making a difference in this world, taking action. All good stuff, but we did leave off on social media. And Cornell, I just want you to share a quick little Facebook Live video that you did recently when we had 8 inches of snow here in New Jersey, at least in Marlboro. What was your, just talk a little bit about Snow Day and that message that you were letting everybody know. I thought that was really important.
Oh, thank you. So I did a Facebook Live called Snow Day, and basically what it was about is, you know, when you're a kid, you just live for snow days, right? Like you never want to go to school. You know, if you see a little bit of snow, it's like fun, right? It's fun all day. You get to drink hot chocolate. It's awesome. And for someone like me who wasn't, you know, when I was in high school, I just loved the social part of it. The class part was a little bit, you know, different for me, but I loved just the social part. So when I had a snow day, I really embraced it. And I was just kind of bringing up the point that, you know, if you're doing what you love every day, right, you never want a snow day. Like if you want to go to work, right, you want to enjoy being in the office and interacting with people or whatever you do. And there's so many people that are stuck on this hamster wheel, this little rat race, that they're praying for enough snow where their boss says, please don't come to work, because they hate what they do. And for me, I just love what I do so much. And I never want to be snowed out. You know, I never want to not be able to do what I do. So I think that the whole Facebook Live was just about, you know, doing what you love every day. And when you do what you love every day, you never want anything to interrupt that.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Like, you know, I had a, my snow day was, I work from my home. So it was a lovely, I could look at the beautiful snow, but I was working and I was in my element and so happy. But just a funny aside. So when I was little, my dad was always the principal of my school, right?
Oh, wow.
So, I know, right? he used to walk me by hand every day to elementary school. And, you know, that's cool when you're a little kid, I guess.
Yeah,
and then, you know, when you're in middle school, it maybe wasn't as cool. But he was always the one who was, like, calling the shots on snow day. So at like 4:30 in the morning, I remember a few times I would go down to the bottom of the block with him and he'd be making a determination of if we should call school or not. And I'd be like, oh, Dad, it's slippery. Putting in my 2 cents, like it made a difference. But I guess I did like snow day, but now I have completely different perspective on it.
For sure. That is so funny. I can't believe that you grew up with a principal in your house. God bless you, child.
You know, when I went to high school, I prayed to God. I did. Please don't make my father the principal of my high school. Please make him the principal. So he became the superintendent instead.
Okay, that's better. That's a little better. That's a little bit better.
So he wasn't, that's awesome. He wasn't in my high school. You know, he was in a different building. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so I'm trying to, you know, now that we've learned about your past and the way that you were, you know, an athlete and you kind of what happened to you and how you really said, not why me, but what now, and got to where you are today, Master Motivator that you are. But what's the connection between the whole sports world and what you do now? Did you learn anything as an athlete that actually is helping you today?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I mean, I think on the court parallels off the court so much for me. And I think that was a big reason that the transition from coach to speaker was so smooth, because I always have an audience as a head coach, right? So I always have to engage and motivate and inspire, you know, young men or young women to, one, be together and go after this cause together, you know? So that's a huge thing. But I think in basketball, some of the things that I love that I tell people all the time is we tell our players next play. So good or bad, next play. Because basketball moves so fast. If you're stuck in the negative play that you just had, if you're stuck on that missed shot, you're not going to be able to focus on that next play that's probably a second right after, you know? So, you know, I just love the fact that, you know, basketball is something where you can make a mistake on offense and immediately make up for it on defense. You know, and people don't understand life is the same way. When something bad happens, you know, it's not saying act like it didn't happen or whatever, but it's got to be next play, because we live in moments. Like, our life are millions and millions of short, brief, you know, millisecond almost moments. And you're missing out on so many cool moments by focusing on the bad ones, you know? So that was one big takeaway, and just learning how to win and learning how to lose, you know? I mean, that was a big thing, you know, being humble. And, you know, I've been humbled plenty of times on the basketball court. You know, I've been the hammer and I've been the nail, you know? So I think that's another big takeaway for me, and being part of a team and realizing that it's more than just me. You know, we say cause over self. You know, it wasn't just about me, it's about my teammates. And sometimes when I'm not feeling great or I'm tired, I have to not worry about my own fatigue and pick somebody up next to me that is, you know, even more tired than I am.
Yeah, I mean, team sports are so good for that. And go back to that next play, because I think that is so key. All of these moments, and if you have a bad moment, you know, it is next play, move on. Do you think that, you know, is it a matter of forgiving yourself? But do you also feel in that moment when you're saying next play that your teammates are also forgiving you? Is it because everybody has that next play that you can all move forward? Is that what makes it easier?
Yeah, I think the great teams, they're all on the same course. So the great teams don't say, I won, or I lost. It's we won or we lost. And that's humongous. And that's a great thing about teamwork. And that's why I want my kids involved in some sort of team sport, because it's about us. And mm-hmm. the person that, you know, sees you, you know, fail, they've done it too. We've all done it. We've all missed shots. We've all made mistakes. We've all did something, you know, that we weren't supposed to do on the basketball court. So, you know, it's probably all happened in the same game. You know, you see teams that collapse together, you know, because everybody's making mistakes. So I think just going through it, you know, you're familiar with mistakes, and you can empathize for someone that makes a mistake on the basketball court.
Right. Win together, lose together. And it's the same thing. I mean, I remember when I owned my agency, I would always tell my employees, no, don't put I in that email to the client, because if there's a screw up, then it's all going to fall on you. We're going to do this together, and we're either going to do it well together or not, but we're in it together. So same thing with team sports. You could move that over to business.
And this is why you'd be a great basketball coach, even though you don't play basketball.
Thank you. I finally did learn how to do, like, you know, dribble the ball. And what do you call it? Is it a layup?
Yeah, there you go.
When you run up and there you one go. Hand. I could do that. I don't know if I could do it now, but my brothers did.
I would love to see it. Just on a side note there, I would love to see it.
I so enjoy that.
I would enjoy that probably more than most things. To see
well,
you,
if I can
do your
ever get a little video of that going on, I will send it to you. Absolutely.
Yeah, or I'll just bring you to the basketball court one day and just say, go ahead, Deirdre, go crazy.
What's that game? Is it called Round the World? I can play that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you can, because you didn't know what it was called for a little bit. So I'm going to just say, I'm just going to say that, you know, I'm going to beat you around the world and, well, but, and cartwheels,
but
you'll beat me in everything else.
Funny. All right. So you are a master motivator. And I mean, the passion and the energy and just your drive comes through. I mean, I can feel it all the way here. Although we're both in New Jersey. So
Yeah, we are.
But how do you get someone maybe motivated after, like you, they went through a rough patch? So how do you tell someone to kind of move past that? And if there was any kind of formula for motivation?
Well, that's a great question, first off. I would say the thing that worked for me is realizing that you have to go through some pain to find your purpose. And that was probably one of the biggest lessons I got from my injury, is that to really find your purpose, because finding your purpose isn't easy. You know, I mean, there's some people that, you know, they wake up when they're little and they say, I want to be a doctor, and they're doctors. But, you know, purpose is deeper than that. Purpose just isn't a occupation. So I used to tell people, you know, sometimes you got to, you know, go through a little pain to find your purpose. Another thing I say is, you know, to use the analogy of a car, is your rearview mirror is really small and that your front window is humongous. And the reason for that is your car can't really function in your car without your rearview mirror. You need that there. It's okay to see where you came from, but if you stare at it, you're going to end up crashing into something, you know? So it's okay to reflect, you know, but it's not okay to sit there and stare in there. So you gotta take little pieces from your past and then just focus so hard on your present, you know, and what you need to do now to fix it.
Right, because there's that big window that you can move forward into.
Yeah,
exactly. I think that's really good advice.
Thank you.
You know, I suppose that we talked a lot about positivity and where it came from and your summit. There's a lot going on in your world. And I see you on social media a lot. So, you know, I'm going to talk about, and I think I told you once that I have this little book called Pausativity. You know, you step back and you have to pause. So what are you doing to pause? Do you make yourself pause? How are you being mindful? How are you taking care of you so you can do all these great things and help other people do great things?
Yeah, well, it's very important for me to take a pause, to give myself a timeout. And Couple of things that I do, that I've been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for 10 and a half years. So while I'm doing that, there's nothing else on my mind but jiu-jitsu, because if there's something else on my mind, I probably get strangled or choked or something. So I've been doing that for a long time, and also do yoga. I've been doing yoga for about 2 years, and I love it. And that's another thing where my mind can't be anywhere else except for my body shaking like a leaf, watching the 70-year-old woman in front of me not even sweat.
She makes it look easy, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm like, come on, really? And also what I do in the morning is, you know, I do like this little like workout routine that I do no matter what I have going. I do this little workout routine that takes me about 6-7 minutes, but I make sure to do it every day, because having a 3-year-old and having an 18-month-old, I want to be able to be healthy and run with them for a very, very long time. So I can't preach, you know, being active and being healthy if I have a gut down to my knees.
Yeah.
And I'm not living life the right way. And I wouldn't be able to serve anybody if I couldn't take care of myself.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a really good job. And, you know, just the, I can imagine having two little ones, the energy. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
We have four older ones now, 20 yeah. to 25. But when kids are little, boy, you really have to be on top of your game, and you need so much energy and patience. And if you're not really rested, and if you don't pause, there's no way you're going to give them the patience, the time, and the understanding and the love that they need.
Yeah. You'll move to Australia or something. You'll like leave.
Yeah.
You'll leave. There's no, like, I'm a human jungle gym. I'm a human, I literally a human jungle gym.
Like, 'cause they climb all over pictures. You?
Oh my gosh. Deirdre, it's like they found like a bouncy house. Like, that's daddy. Daddy's a bouncy house.
Bouncy house.
Yeah. I'm in like
a children's book. Seriously.
Oh my gosh.
Daddy's a bouncy house.
Well, you know, I wrote a children's book. And, you know, just got illustrated. It's probably going to be out in April.
That's
but
great.
Yeah, but I think the Bouncy House one, I think me and you are going to go co-author on that one. we'll put it together, both Deirdre and Cornell, and we'll just, you know, we'll just do the Bouncy House. It'll just be pictures of me and my head, the kids bouncing off my head.
I think I got a black eye in the Bouncy House once.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You tell me who it is. You tell me who. I'll go get them right now. You tell me, Deirdre. No one messes with my little sister.
Oh boy, that makes you feel good. Yeah.
You knock on some random person's door. Hey, are you Kevin Smith? You remember when she was in third grade? Nice try, buddy.
Boom.
In the news today, author Cordell Thomas was arrested
for a bouncy house incident.
For a bouncy house incident from 20 years ago.
Oh, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably 40 years ago.
This is why we can't hang out. This is why we can't hang out.
Exactly. Okay, so you know what, Mr. I'm a human bouncy house. Describe your perfect day, right?
Okay.
Is there such a thing as a perfect day? And maybe it is your kids climbing on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect day. That's a great question. So the perfect day for me, I know for a fact, would involve my family. It would involve jiu-jitsu. It would involve some type of help, some type of inspiring someone, helping someone. And it would involve some type of ice cream, for sure. That'd probably be the perfect day. I mean, it doesn't have to be like 90 degrees out. I love the spring. I love when it's like 72 and like there's a nice little breeze and hanging out. That would be my perfect day. Just kind of sitting back and just chilling and not doing too much and relaxing, but still getting some little sneaky things done, like helping people on the side, or, you know, eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream, or, you know, doing some stuff like that. That'd be my perfect day.
You know, what's awesome about what you said is that it's so doable. It's not like you said, my perfect day is I'd be in Hawaii.
Yeah.
There would be a luau going on, because that doesn't always happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Frame a perfect day that's, you know, within our world and what we can achieve and makes us happy so that we can do all the other things on the not so perfect days, which are still good, but they're just not perfect.
Yeah.
I like that. It's you're real.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. I don't, you know, it's a funny thing, Deirdre, and I don't want to get off super topic, but it's the same thing when people tell me, you know, wow, you talk about positivity and you're so like different and stuff. I was like, well, I'm different because I'm not doing a video on top of a mountain while wearing a dashiki and lighting incense, because that's not who I am.
No.
I'm just a regular dude who has really worked on his mind, and I'm just a positive person. Like, you don't have to be some deity or some super enlightened individual, you know, in quotes, to talk about being positive and talk about, you know, living a life of purpose. Like, you don't have to be that person, you know? So I think people connect with me because I'm just a regular dude. I'm not some, you know, someone that tries to be someone, something I'm not. I don't talk down to people like I'm above them.
Right. You're just you. And people relate to that. I'm all for anybody who wants to go that, whatever direction,
sure,
whoever they are, whatever they do.
Yeah.
But as long as you are your authentic self, and
yeah,
people recognize that and appreciate it.
Yeah. So, if you want to go on a mountain, make sure you go on a mountain all the time. And that's awesome. But for me, I'm not mountain climbing to give you a message. I'm just going to tell you from my car.
Exactly. Snow day.
Snow day from my car.
Well, okay. So I guess to sum it up, what would you say to someone who wants to find more positivity?
Ooh.
Yeah, I know it's hard, but what would you say?
That's tough. I would say that there's inspiration everywhere. You just have to open your eyes. Everywhere. There's inspiration. I'm inspired by your post, Deirdre. I'm inspired by other people's posts. I'm inspired by some of the things I see on YouTube. I'm inspired by feel-good stories. I mean, a lot of my Facebook Live, like, I don't write anything down. I just go because I'm inspired every day. I'm inspired by people I talk to. So if you're looking for it and your mind is open to it, you'll find positivity. I mean, positivity and negativity have one thing in common. They both need momentum. And if you see a positive act happen, like something, if you find $5 in your pocket when you're doing the laundry, you notice like your whole day starts kind of getting pretty cool. But when you stub your toe at 8 a.m., you know, you're like, crap, and then you spill your coffee, and it's, you know, they just both need momentum, you know? So I would say when you open your mind to positivity and that, you know, that you're meant to be here for a reason, it's like when you buy a car for the first time and you see that freaking car everywhere and you never saw it before. You know, you're going to start to see things. Things are going to open to you that you're going to be like, how is this happening? I was just talking about this amazing song that I missed and it came on the radio. Like, things, it just happens. You know, it's hard to explain it, but it's just having an open mind to it that makes it come to you.
Well, that's awesome. You've given so many insights and such great advice. Okay, last question. Super easy. Where can my listeners find out more about you and your Positivity Summit?
Oh, well, I almost want to like kind of drag this out for an hour because I don't want to leave. But for your listeners' own sake, I will say they can find me on Twitter at Cornell Thomas. Instagram is at Cornell Thomas 34, super basic. And if they want any information about the Positivity Summit, the event page is www.cornellthomas365.com. And my website is cornell-thomas.com.
Awesome. I hope everybody goes and checks you out on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
There's a picture of Deirdre on my website. So you want to go right now.
And the summit.
And you want to sign up for the Positivity Summit.
Yes.
And just to see Deirdre. And she's going to bring it and you're going to be blown away. And I might say a couple words, but it's mainly the Deirdre Summit. I'm calling it Positivity. So don't want to embarrass her.
Well, thank you. So much credit. My head's getting so big, it's going to be hard to leave the room. Cornell, thank you so much for inspiring us and motivating us today. I just so appreciate your passion and what you're doing to help change the world. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. You're awesome.
So are you. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.